Please be seated. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Holy Trinity. It's not often I focus on the collect for the day, but today I'm going to do that. In our collect for the day today, we ask the Lord to grant that we, who have been born again and made God's children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by God's Holy Spirit. Let me read the whole collect for you one more time. Almighty God, you have given your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to be born this day of a pure virgin. Grant that we who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you in the same Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. I'd say that's about as appropriate a prayer as we could ask for on a Christmas morning at which a baptism is being celebrated. But wait a minute. Nobody's being baptized this morning. Is it still a good prayer for us to use? Almighty God, it says, you have given your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to be born this day of a pure virgin. We say things like this a lot in the church because they're profound truths that will make all the difference in the world, really. But I wonder how often we actually stop to think about them. In a matter of seconds, we often, sometimes weekly, say things that took the collected bishops of the early church several hundred years to come up with in satisfactory form. And yet we just rattle off our sentences, happy to get through them and be done with it. God's only begotten Son has taken our nature upon himself, into himself, yada, yada, yada. This morning, even though nobody is being baptized, I think it is significant for us to talk about the relationship between God being born in the flesh, taking our nature upon himself, and our being born again, which is of the most important ways for us to look at baptism, as well as for us to look at our own change in identity and nature as a result of saying yes to God in our lives. We followers of Jesus pledge to allow the Holy Spirit to renew our lives so that we will be born into God in the same way that God is born into us. In both ways, God comes alive in the flesh. When we decide to follow Jesus, we pledge ourselves to bending our lives in the direction of making this new birth offered by God the most important and life-shaping part of our existence. We acknowledge that this is something that happens by grace, by God's initiative. We may think that we're working at bending our lives in a certain direction, and it certainly feels like we are, but in reality we are letting God bend them as we grow. Who would have thought that a new way of living would be initiated by the birth of a baby in a poor community of people oppressed by powerful foreigners? This morning we are reminded very vividly that Jesus began his life as a baby. In Jesus Christ, God became one of us so that we could be one with God. God was born so that we could be born again. Of course, the fact that God was born to a woman in time does not mean that God did not exist before that time. It just means that God decided it was essential to participate in birth as an aspect of identifying with human beings and the whole created order. His birth means that God enters human history personally, so that we can enter God's history personally as well. In Jesus' birth, we see the reuniting of God and humanity, undoing the separation created by sin. God's life can once again enter our lives, and our lives can once again enter God's. God and humanity are reunited today. At least, this is the anniversary of that union, a unity made possible only in Jesus Christ. This is not something that human beings can do on their own. God has to do it. And now, because God does it, We can be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, the ones who are sought out by God. Indeed, God seeks us out and finds us. He saves us for himself because he longs to be one, longs for us to be one with him again. He saves us not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In our gospel reading from Luke this morning, this bursting of God into human existence is announced by angels to a bunch of shepherds. Now that's just strange. At the time, shepherds are about the lowest class of human being that there was. They were stinky and disreputable. Today we might compare them to janitors or septic system servicemen or gas station attendants. The angels did not go to a meeting of doctors or lawyers or priests or building contractors even. They went to shepherds. This morning, the same union of God with human beings is announced in our midst. It's just that we are the witnesses instead of a bunch of shepherds. We might not be as stinky and disreputable, I hope. But the point is that we are real people and that we are witnesses. The shepherds, of course, were not asked if they would do all in their power to support Mary and Joseph in raising Jesus well to love the Lord. We, on the other hand, are asked that question every time that we participate in a baptism into Jesus Christ. Every time we participate in the complete change of identity and life process of another person in our midst. There is something that we share in common with the shepherds, though. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they went all around and made it known what they had been told and what they had seen, which probably didn't do them much good at the time. I hope we can take to heart the significance, though, of what we hear and see on this morning and what we see happening in our own lives and in the lives of others who are close to us as a result of the influence of this baby Jesus. This baby Jesus has influenced our worldviews, our moral compass, our ability to forgive and accept others in love. And like the shepherds, we should not be afraid to make it known to all that we meet where this strange, life-changing power comes from. We bear witness to Christ, or to Christmas, rather, twice at least, for we act out in our baptism and in our formation what the incarnation is all about. Actually, we bear witness to Christmas constantly. In our baptismal vows, we promise to do a number of things, all of which are characteristic of those who have been reborn into the kingdom of God, the new kingdom of God in Christ. We promise to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. We promise to persevere in resisting evil. We promise to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. We even promise to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to seek and serve Christ in all persons, and to strive for justice and peace in the world. These things are allegedly characteristic of those who have now been born anew into the kingdom of God in Christ, right? But wait a minute. They do not really seem to be characteristic of very many Christians that you or I know, when it comes right down to it. So do we have any business making these promises? No, we really don't. But we try to take that stretch of probability into consideration by always answering, I will with God's help. With God's help is a very important caveat for Christians to use in all that we claim to be or do. Whether we're pledging publicly to do something mission-related with our faith, or whether we're simply working consistently on allowing God to reshape who we are in Christ. Without God's help, we can do nothing that is honoring to God or that glorifies Him. We might not always know when we are getting God's help, but we need to be reminded to stop and take stock of situations we face, acknowledge that we need God's help and that we want God's help in order to pull off this attempt to make God come alive in the flesh of one more human being. I will with God's help. That's pretty close to what Mary said when the angel announced to her that she would be conceiving God's Son in her virgin womb. Today the angels announced Jesus' birth to shepherds, and when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, or wherever they went, the shepherds said to one another, "What?" What did they say? Well, I think we're given a rather tightly edited reading of what they said to one another. I think they probably said something like, "Holy cow, did you see that? Good, then I'm not going crazy. Well, what are we going to do now? We should probably go to Bethlehem, like the angel said, don't you think? But should we believe what they said? Do we agree about what we think they said? Can you even believe this happened to us?" "I do," said one of the shepherds. "I do, with God's help."